السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اذكروا الله ذكرا كثيرا وسبحوه بكرة وأصيلا. وقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر وتؤمنون بالله. صدق الله العظيم. علماء الكرام، most respected brothers and also our sisters at the madrasa, Allah تبارك وتعالى states very very clearly in the Quran Sharif, in the kalam of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, it is mentioned very clearly that we have been created. In reality, it was referring to the sahaba ikram radiyallahu anhum ajma'in, but via them, after that, the entire ummat. But because the sahaba ikram radiyallahu anhum ajma'in truly practiced whatever they were ordered to do, therefore we say that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala addressed them that kuntum khayra ummah, that you are the best of ummah, created for the benefit of mankind, taken out for the benefit of mankind. What you do is you make amar bil maruf, you call, you invite towards good, and you prohibit all that which is evil, and you believe in Allah Ta'ala. This is an ayat of the Quran Sharif which we hear many, many times and which we also quote many times whenever we want to invite towards the deen of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Then we will quote this verse and we will take it for granted that this ayat refers to us, that we are deserving of this title. It is the ummat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam which is doing this work that is deserving of this title. We can be sometimes classified as the ummati of Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the sense that we have believed in Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as Khatamun Nabiyyin. We have believed in him as the messenger of Allah Ta'ala. We have believed in him as the last and the final prophet of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And we have believed that he, after him there is no ummat, and after him there is no Nabi to come. So therefore we are the last ummat. And we are his ummati. But if we have to look in the hadiths of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, many, many places we will find that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that he is not of me. A very simple example, because we attend nikahs, and we listen to this hadith sharif at the end of the khutbah of almost every nikah, in which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam saying is related, an nikahu min sunnati. Nikah is from my way of life. It is my sunnat. And another hadith which both in combine is read normally, faman raghiba an sunnati falaysa minni. The person who turns away from my sunnat, from my way of life, then falaysa minni, he is not from amongst me, amongst my people, amongst my ummat. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that that person can consider how much he likes that he is my ummati, but he is not. Now of course what that means, that he is not a kamil ummati. He is an ummati, but he is not a kamil perfect ummati. Why? Because he is turning away from a major sunnat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. The person has got the ability to marry, he has got the resources, he's got the physical health, and also he does not have a kind of temperament or nature that if he has to get married, then he will be violent, his fuse will blow up every little while. And as it is, we know how difficult it is these days when fuses blow to get somebody from the municipality to put things right. So if that person has got this fear that he is going to be violent, he has a temper that he cannot control, then we will say that it's not sunnat for him to marry. He should fast, he should discipline himself, he should learn how to control his temper, then get married. But I'm talking about general condition if a person has got the money. And again, it's not a talk of nikah, therefore we're not going to details. But by money, again, we don't mean that he must have enough money to feed 1,000 people. He must have enough money to hire the city hall. He must have enough money to give so much of jewelry and cash to the bride, which one of the princesses must have received from the prince. What it means, the person has got sufficient on which he can maintain the wife and children. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's system is such that as the children come, they come with their own risk, with their own muqaddar. There are many people, when the first child came, they got worried. Now what are we going to do? Expenses have increased. Second child came, they said expenses have increased even more. So things are coming a little tight. Now the person is finding it a little difficult to buy the necessities and requirements. And then the third or fourth child comes and suddenly everything booms. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala opens the doors of risk and sustenance. So the children, they come with their own risk and sustenance. Whoever comes into this world, Allah ta'ala says in the Quran Sharif, وَمَا مِن دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا. So the risk and sustenance of every creature is in the hands of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and He will provide. And Allah Ta'ala's sources of providing also are unlimited. It is just because our vision is limited, therefore we seem to find Allah Ta'ala's sources through which He provides as also limited. That is our weakness. Millions and millions of people have come to this world, and they survived somehow. They ate, they drank, they lived, and so many of them with not only necessities of life, but plenty of luxuries. So many different kinds of businesses have been conducted on the surface of the earth. Different kinds of businesses. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala creates conditions such that the person will get some kind of employment to manage a wife and children. Allah ta'ala has got unlimited sources. Sometimes it really baffles our imagination how Allah ta'ala provides risk when we look at some people, what kind of work they are engaged in and what kind of occupation they are in. So many different kinds. And way Allah Ta'ala provides them is also something that baffles us. Right on the top of Jabal Nur, right on the top of the mountain, the person is selling cold drinks, some biscuits and some sweets. Now these hujjaj are going from different parts of the world and they climb right up, huffing and puffing, some of them. But when they reach up there, now they are so tired and exhausted that they buy not one but half a dozen cold drinks to quench their thirst. Now look at this person, where he had to take his goods and where Allah Ta'ala sent the customers. Just sometimes just think over these type of things. Then that yaqeen will be built up that how Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala provides. Now Allah Ta'ala put into the mind of this person that carry on your back this cold drinks and all that and take it right on top of the mountain. He could have said at the bottom there. So Allah Ta'ala's sources are unlimited. He provides from different sources. But because our vision is limited and because our greed has got no bounds, therefore mankind is suffering in this world. Our greed has got no limits. Therefore mankind is suffering. And also because of our way of thinking and our ideology and our technology and all the other things that have come up in this world. So our ideology and our thinking is this, that we must save money at all costs. So what we did, we employed women all over the shore. Now that person who was supposed to go and work and earn for his children, that male person, that father who had this responsibility that he must earn and he must provide for the children, now when he goes to the shops, he goes to the supermarkets, he goes to the factories, he goes to the industries, wherever he goes, they say, sorry, no job. Then he says, I've got a very beautiful 18-year-old daughter, 16-year-old daughter, 20-year-old daughter, and she just needs money for what? For makeup, for fashionable clothes, and for some other luxuries. So he said, yes, we've got a job for her. So again, we must not misunderstand, because these days misunderstanding is on the top of the list. So we must not misunderstand. I am not saying that all the women are working just for their lipstick and powder and their makeups. There are many of them, unfortunately, they have to go and work because the husband has died, or they just cannot make ends meet, or she's a widow, or some other. So we're not talking about those cases. I'm talking about the majority. Let us look at the majority in the world. Also, don't look at our one small business. Whenever we talk about the condition of the ummah at large. So now this young person, he wants to get married. Now he's looking for a job. He's got certificate, he's got qualification, he's got everything. And his niyat and intention also is this, that I want to get married so that I protect myself and safeguard myself from haram, from sin, from vices and zina. And if I get married, then I can find a flat, I can find an accommodation, I must pay for the food, clothing, shelter. So this person goes. Now he goes to all the places, he comes back, he says, no job. Why no job? Because all jobs have been taken up by those women who did not really require jobs. They could have stayed at home, or they could have done something else and given these jobs. But we changed the whole system. The French Revolution, this is what happened after that. The Industrial Revolution, this is what it did. Now all these jobs got taken up, so now who do you blame? You don't blame Shariat, you don't blame Islam, you don't blame Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala had so many different jobs for different people. Now just imagine if today all these jobs have to be opened up, and if there has to be a law that is passed, that first priority will be given, a priority status to all those people who are married and who've got children. They will be given these jobs and vacancies first. How many people will get these jobs? But still, even though man may have made all these mistakes and put himself into disaster, but Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's doors are still not closed. This is what I'm trying to get across to you, that still the person must not think that because of all this what has happened, so Allah Ta'ala's doors are now closed. Allah Ta'ala's doors are open, and His treasures are unlimited. He can provide from sources unlimited and unknown. Unknown to the person, from such sources Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala can provide. So what was it? Yes, I was talking about nikah. So if the person has got the ability, he's got the resources, he's got the means of and the ability to get married, then he should get married. Kya baat kar? Sunnat. Yes, I was talking about sunnat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. That the Quranic verse says that kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat linnas. You are the best of ummat, evolved for the benefit of mankind. So we must not misunderstand that we take everything to be referring to us. That the person doesn't do anything that is pleasing to Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, but he takes it for granted that every ayat in which there is a virtue of the Muslims and the believers, then it refers to him. This is our mistake. The Sahaba Ikram radiallahu anhu ajma'in, when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam came amongst them, then at that time, we know what the conditions were. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when he came as a Nabi, at that time, we all know what the conditions were. To even talk about the Akhirat was something that was unknown to them. To talk about Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, they said what we must, those who believed in some kind of Allah, they said what we must make all of Allah into one Allah. How can one Allah do everything? There must be one Allah of the moon, one of the sun, one of the wind, one of the rain. There must be one Allah who gives health. There must be one Allah who gives wealth. One Allah who gives poverty. One Allah who gives prosperity. And another Allah who brings adversity. Now all these Allahs were clashing. Because one Allah says, I will do this. The other Allah says, no, I won't. So now how will the universe work? But nevertheless, that is how they looked at it. So either they believed in some kind of Allah Ta'ala and many, many Allahs, or they didn't believe in an Allah. So that was the condition. Now Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when he came, at that time, it's not that they didn't know how to eat or drink, or the necessities of life were not found. The needs of a person were found even at that time. They were indulging in all these type of sins and vices, murdering, killing and looting and robbing and speaking lies and committing adultery and everything, and drinking and gambling and burying their daughters alive. All that they were doing. But that does not mean that at that time there was no food, no drink, no clothes. According to those times, all these things were prevalent. They were available. To some extent it was there. And in the so-called superpowers of those days, there was much, much more. There were luxuries. In fact, when we go and look at the Taj Mahal, and when you look at all the other forts and fortresses and certain buildings which are 1,000 years old and 2,000 years old, we just wonder that where did they get that machinery to do all this work? They didn't have our kind of technology and equipment, but yet look at what they built and what they made. In Delhi, in one of the forts, there's a pool there. Of course, it's all dry now, there's no water in there. But there was some kind of an element that was used in the Mughal times. Some small little, it was just like a flicker of a candle. Just like a little candle burning. And it would heat up the whole pool of water. Some kind of masala they used to put in there and put it on the side of it, and used to heat the whole pool. In winter, it used to get hot water. Or warm water, and in summer again it should be cool. So when they started experimenting and trying to find out what really happened, that was the end of that technology. They never came to know what really happened. So Allah Ta'ala had given everyone some kind of aqal and intelligence to make things in during his own times. So these people also, they had the necessities of life. But the thing that was missing in their lives was this connection with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. They did not recognize that creator. They did everything, but they didn't recognize the creator, the giver of those ni'mats. They also manufactured, they also built up, they did many things, but they forgot the creator. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when he came amongst them, then he started preaching to them, started inviting them. After many years, first two people, three people, then a few extra, and like that it went on until they came to Madina Tayyibah. Now a whole community had been built up. Now this community of Madina Tayyibah, I discussed it in one of the Jummah Bayans, that if a person has to analyze, if a person has to look at that community of Madina Tayyibah, which was with Rasul Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then we will find a few conspicuous things in their lives. Firstly, that their iman and yaqeen was so solid in Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. After listening to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, their iman was so solid that nothing could shake up their iman. They had yaqeen on the ghaib, Allah Ta'ala's ghaib, the nizam of ghaib, the unseen world. They had such yaqeen that nothing in the world can shake that yaqeen. Secondly, these people, they truly, firmly believed, and they were convinced of the fact, and they had experienced it in their lives, that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's help and Allah Ta'ala's nusrat is not on majority or minority. It is not on the resources that one possesses or does not. It is not on how much wealth you have or you don't have. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's help and Allah Ta'ala's nizam of giving success was based on obeying Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Now this was not on their lips, it was in their lives. And this is the purpose of these majlises of Islah, that we have to bring this into our lives. Otherwise, on our lips, how many times we have mentioned this? But how long is it going to remain on our lips? Until it doesn't enter our hearts and becomes our life, until then we are not going to benefit. If a person keeps talking about the virtue of some kind of medication or tablet for a certain sickness and illness, and not only that, but he writes it out in gold, and he frames it in his lounge, and he reads it every day also 10 times, it's not going to benefit him. His sickness, he will have to take that medication. It has to go into his system. So like that, the Quran Sharif is there, the Hadith Sharif is there, but it has to go into our system. We have to bring it into our lives. Until then, it's not going to really benefit us. We will get the sawab of mentioning it. But if we are waiting for that help of Allah Ta'ala, then it is not going to come until it becomes our lifestyle. So therefore here Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, now the Sahaba Ikram, they accepted it and they believed in it and they were convinced about it. There was nothing that could shake this belief that success only depends and solely depends on obeying Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Now we also say this. How many times we have heard with our ears, success depends on what? Obeying Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But when we come outside the masjid, then look at our business, then look at our walimas, then look at our nikahs, then look at our actions at the home, look at our actions in the bazaars and marketplaces, then look at our actions in all other areas of life, then look at our temper, then look at our anger, then look at our jealousy and our malice and our greed and our pride. So it has to become our lifestyle. This is the reason why Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, Kunu ma'as sadiqeen. Join the truthful ones. Sadiqeen, they must be truthful. And who are the sadiqeen? Ulaika alladhina sadaqu wa ulaika humul muttaqoon. That they are the muttaqi ones. That the easy way of getting that into our lives is to join those who've got taqwa, who've got sadaqat in their lives. Then we will also get it. But if we are just going to listen or just going to speak, then it's not going to become part of our lives. You have to see people actually practicing Islam, practicing Sharia, practicing Deen. We have to see under different situations how they behaved, how they controlled their anger, how they acted in difficult situations when they were provoked. At that time, how they control themselves. When they were tempted, how they control themselves. All these things, when you see in their lives, then after that it becomes part and parcel of our lives. Just now, before coming for Isha Salat, I was replying to one letter. In that letter, this person states that he went over the weekend or for a week, South Coast. And he says, in South Coast, he tried to restrain himself as much as possible after listening to the bayans and attending the majlises and all wherever they went. He said because it was a holiday season, there was a lot of temptation that was around there. But every time that there was some temptation, he immediately recalled what was said in the majlises. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is watching and Allah Ta'ala can snatch away that sight. And we can deceive everybody else, but we cannot deceive Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala is observing where we are observing. When we are looking somewhere, then Allah Ta'ala's eyes is on us. Where are we looking? Now all these type of things, whatever was discussed here, the khawf of Allah, the muhabbat of Allah Ta'ala. So he says that alhamdulillah caused him to restrain himself. It was because he was with the family, so therefore the pressure was there, but he kept on restraining himself. And he said, alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala's fazl and ihsan, that accidental gaze, but no matter how shamelessly some woman must have been dressed, but never raised again the second glance. Now that is what he wrote. He calls it the barakat of the majlises that he was attending here. But now look at the reward. The reward he gets when he returns home, he says he sees a dream. Now, in the dream, he sees that he is recalling that when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was born, then at that time, noor or light shone from the heaven to the earth or earth to the heavens, kind of a light shone. So you see, now in the dream he's actually seeing as if that light is shining, that brightness of that light he's seeing in his dream, that noor. And then as he is seeing that, he says, then he starts discussing Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's life. So whilst he was discussing, suddenly he gets, his chest becomes very tight and he cannot speak anymore. He loses his speech and he's silent. Now he wants to talk, he can't talk and his chest is tight. So in the dream he sees his mother telling him that, come, I take you now to the masjid. So she's taking him to the masjid, and outside the masjid, now in his dream, he is dreaming of Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam standing there. And most beautiful features of Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasallam is seen. And then Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is asking his mother, what has happened to my, and he mentions the person's name, what has happened to my, and that person's name Allah, he mentions. So the mother says that this is what happened, that he was talking about you and this. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, all right, you leave his hand. And then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam takes him inside the masjid. And once again, his chest, everything, all the burden is out. And he says, then he's tearing and all. And he goes on and describes the dream. And then he sees in the dream now a certain alim who's asking him that, how come Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave you this treatment personally? What is it that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gave you this personal attention and personal treatment? So he takes the name of this insignificant one and he says that it was the barakat of this so many others have related certain things. So what I am getting at is this, that now look at this person. Because he practiced, because he acted, because he did something, he did not go like the wild animal. So immediate rewards people are getting in this world today. Immediate reward. This is an immediate reward. Now if he cast his glance and kept looking at all those shamelessly dressed women there or passing by or indulge in other haram, then for a little while he would have got some kind of enjoyment. Somebody wants to come out, ND204849, move your car. For a little while he would have got some enjoyment, but would he have got this pleasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? Lazzate arzi mili, izzate daimi gai, rahate zindagi gai, lazzate bandagi gai. Little while, that's all. But how many people have lost their respect and honor and everything when they disobeyed Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, these companions of his, this was another conspicuous quality of this, that they truly and sincerely believe that every success depends on obeying Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasalam. Not just speaking about Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasalam, truly obeying Allah. Then accidental sins I mentioned many times can happen. But that commitment that no, we want to obey Allah ta'ala. What kind of life is that the person can't get up for Fajr? Why? Because too cold or it's too early. Or if he's obeying Allah Ta'ala in namaz, in the masjid, he's making namaz first saf and make the hajjud also and ishraq and chasht also. But when it comes to transactions and deals, then he is shaitan number one. And not only with strangers, but even with his own family. How many cases where the families are complaining? Brothers are wiping the accounts of brothers clean from their savings. Properties which were entrusted, no sign left of those properties. Inheritance, little children received inheritance, but before they even grow up, everything has vanished, nothing left. Now who is the one that does all that? Not distant people or total strangers, those who are very close, and sometimes it's uncles, sometimes it's grandfathers, sometimes it's brothers, sometimes it's sisters. So many, without exaggeration, I mention all these things so that we become a little alert. So many people, without exaggeration, you can't even count so many of them, phoned me to ask me about dreams. And so many of them, when I asked them just one question, that yes, you saw your father in this state in the dream, that he was suffering and he wanted water and he was very thirsty and he was this and he was that, or you saw your mother in the dream and this was happening to her and that was happening to her, has their estate been distributed Islamically? Or did one sister take away all the jewelry and cash that she had left behind, just because she was taking care of that mother? Or did that one son who was with the father, he take away everything? And those sisters who are in Canada, America, or China, or in India, because they are far away, so there was no share left for them. Or is he owing people monies? And although there is property, there are assets, but instead of those assets being liquidated so that those debts may be paid, the heirs have taken everything and they're enjoying themselves and they say there's no money to pay the debts. So most of the times we will get one reply, yes, it's correct. That is the case. There is a big dispute, or one of them has taken this away, or the person who's got everything in his control doesn't want to distribute. So many cases. And yet there will be people who will be in the masjid. But we should not always just blame people in the masjid. Today another thing that has become very common, that yes, people with kurtas and pajamas and topis and namazis, they are taking everybody for a ride. And what about all those suited, booted people? They're not taking people for a ride. The three-piece suited people, they're taking people for bigger rides. That's why they call it white-collar crime. Because their collars are not dirty, they're white. So they're also doing the same thing. But why we say this is that those who are with the masjid and those who got taluk with the Quran Sharif and with deen, so then they should be more on guard. Why should they waste their earnings? If a person is going to earn in the bazaar and he has earned 50,000, 100,000 or whatever money he has made for the day, now he doesn't take it to the bank in an open basket. He looks after it. He tries to protect it. He has a security. So here we make namaz, roza, zakat, hajj, tilawat, ibadah, zikr and all that, and then we take it open like that so that shaitan can snatch it away by making us indulge in wrong transactions and deals and all kinds of haram. So therefore let us make up our mind that we want to be committed Muslims and take a stock, scan ourselves. Where am I going wrong? So many of them ask me, Mullah, where am I going wrong? Now what do I know where you are going wrong? They ask me, Mullah, you tell me where am I going wrong? I said, Bhai, until you don't tell me, how can I tell you? First you tell me where you are going wrong. So now I'm suffering this and that, and you tell me where I'm going wrong. So I say, you tell me first, what's your lifestyle like? So we are going wrong somewhere. We have to go and get ourselves scanned. We have to see it. As we go to the doctor and we say, or go to the cardiologist and we say, I'm getting a pain on the chest, I'm getting on my right shoulder, I'm getting on my neck, I'm getting this and that is happening, then he will say, yes, the symptoms are there of angina or heart attack. So in the same way here, we have to look at the symptoms and we can see what our condition is. So let us not be satisfied with where we are. This is what the message is. That let us not be satisfied in the state that we are. It is not a very good state that we are in, because we are only looking at the little bit of namaz that we are making, or the little bit of taluk we have got with deen. But we are not looking at the other areas in our life. And Islam is a package. It's a whole. We have to look at every department. There will be weakness. There will be shortcomings. We don't say that we will be perfect. But at least we make the effort that no matter what pain comes on ourselves, but if it means that we have to part with all our property so that we may give to those people who have got the shares in there, then we do that. Even if the father made the will that you are entitled to the entire estate, the father can make a will and pass away, that I leave behind my house and my shop and everything to my one son. Or the mother can make a wasiyat and die, that the day I die, all my jewelry, you must take it away. So the mother can say that and go away. But the mother is not Allah, and the father is not Allah. We respect the mother and we respect the father because Allah Ta'ala has said that you must respect them. But Allah Ta'ala himself, it is his order that this is how this thing should be distributed. Therefore, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, La ta'ata li makhluqin fi ma'siyatil khaliq. That the creation of Allah Ta'ala, we are not going to obey when there is a disobedience to Allah Ta'ala. There must be raza in our hearts. There must be that pleasure with Allah Ta'ala's hukam and ahkam. So the sahaba kiram, this was their distinct quality. Then again, that was when it came to their transactions, when it came to their namazas and their ibadat and their zikr and their tilawat. But then again, their concern and fikr for the akhirat was so much that you would have found them at night again crying before Allah Ta'ala. They made ibadah, they made zikr, they made tilawat, they made jihad, they went and earned halal livelihood, they stayed away from all the haram, from the drink and the gamble and the wine and haram women and everything. But then again, at night you find their fikr and concern that it was not really worthy of presentation before Allah Ta'ala. After they made ibadat, after they did everything that was to be done, then they still felt that we did not have that quality that we can present it to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So now again they are crying. In the early part of the morning, they cry before Allah Ta'ala. As I mentioned many times, that they used to make ibadat and then cry. We commit sins and we laugh. We commit sins and we smile. We commit sins and we advertise. We commit sins and we brag about our sins. We commit sins and we look down upon those people who are doing ibadat, zikr, tilawat, or fulfilling Allah Ta'ala's ahkam. What a world of difference. But yet we will quote the same verse, Kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat linnas. So this amar bil ma'ruf and nahi anil munkar has to be done in all departments. The person has to invite towards good, doesn't mean just for namaz, just for zikr and tilawat. Whatever Allah Ta'ala has ordered, if there is any disobedience to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, then the person, wherever he has got strength or power or capacity to stop and prevent by force, then he does that. If not, then with his tongue. And if not that, then at least he considers it in his heart as evil and stays away from it. But do we stay away? So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, sahabas, when they brought these qualities into them, then Allah Ta'ala gave them two things. Two forces Allah Ta'ala gave. One is Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala put the fear into the hearts of the enemies. Mighty powers. The rulers used to shiver when they hear the name of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala. And those people in simple, torn and tattered clothes, they used to go and talk to those emperors as if they themselves were kings and talking to an ordinary citizen. They had no fear left after that. And Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala also gave them nusrat and help, that even though they may be in a minority, small in numbers, with not much resources, but Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gave them victory wherever they went. Victory, victory, everywhere victory. So our problem is this, that we want those promises of Allah Ta'ala fulfilled, and we are waiting. Because we are believers, and because we are khayre ummah. But we fail to see that ours is nothing but on lips. The moment a little temptation comes, and the person is gone, finished. Little temptation and the person is gone. Just a slight breeze blows, and everybody catches a cold. That's how it is. A slight breeze of sin blows and everyone catches a cold. So Allah Ta'ala is very merciful, very forgiving, very kind, very generous. And in these times of fitna, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is even more generous and kind. Just a little effort from our side and see what doors open. What doors Allah Ta'ala will open? Wallah, Allah Ta'ala will provide also with so easily and comfortably. We don't say that you'll have to close up your shops and sit at home and wait for it to fall from the heavens. But Allah Ta'ala will make things easy, Allah Ta'ala will make life easy and comfortable, and Allah Ta'ala will give us enough time after that which we can spend for the sake of deen. What is the sense of doing deen work, or going to khanqahs far away, or going for umrahs and hajj, when we know that we have usurped the wealth of orphans, of widows, of the poor, of the needy, or we have taken that which was we are not entitled to, or the money that we have got in our possession is not halal. So why should we do that which is displeasing to Allah Ta'ala and give the impression to the world that we are doing deen work? Yes, if a person has got arrangements made, those people whom he is owing monies, if there's a proper arrangement that I'm going for hajj, but I owe you 10,000, 50,000, 100,000. If you say that no problem, you can go for hajj, when you come back you pay me my money, then I want to go. Or there is an arrangement that monthly payments are due and you have every intention of paying it monthly, and you also have assets to cover the losses or the assets to cover in the event of death. So then there's nothing wrong, it's permissible. Islam is not such that it tightens you and puts a noose around your neck, that way you can't move. There's no flexibility. If arrangements are made, there's nothing wrong. But I'm talking about the large number of people who come to us and complain that, Maulana, this person left PDCs with me and is gone. And when we go to him to ask for the money, when we go to us to his son, his son says, did I borrow the money from you? Did I take from you? Say, but your father took and you are managing the business. Say, yeah, that's my father. He's different, I'm different. When he comes back, you must ask him. Now, these are the type of replies they get. Now, will Allah Ta'ala be pleased and happy with that kind of work? Or the person is just speaking lies upon lies and taking people for a ride, and after that, you say the person is doing deen work. Allah Ta'ala is not in need of such kind of deen work. In fact, the deen work is for the same reason, so that we get complete deen in our lives. However, when people are indulging in these type of wrongdoings, then we should not generalize and say that now everybody who is doing deen work has taken somebody for a ride. Sometimes we go on the other extreme, that any person and every person that has doing deen work then definitely has taken somebody for a ride. Then that will be just like that parrot. That parrot was speaking very beautifully and was singing also, and the customers were coming into the shop because of that parrot. One day the master was out, the owner was out, and this person used to sell itar and scent and perfume and expensive oils. So the parrot knocked down one bottle of very expensive oil. Now when his owner came back, he saw that this parrot knocked it down. So he gave the parrot a good hiding on its head and made the parrot bald. So the parrot stopped talking. Now the customers stopped coming. So after some time, one person walked in and he had a bald head. So then the parrot spoke that it seems that you also dropped somebody's oil, and the person gave you a good hiding on your head, and that's why you went bald. So the parrot compared itself to that bald-headed person. So we should not compare everybody and think all are like us. There are many, many people who are very honest, very truthful, very sound, very disciplined, and then they go out, mashallah, in the work of da'wat or in the work of deen, or go to khanqahs or go for hajj and umrahs, then there's no problem with that. So each one has to check himself. This is what I'm getting at, that each one of us who come here, we must take a stock. Every business person takes a stock to check now whether he's made some profit or there's a loss. How long are we going to keep showing loss, loss, loss? If we have to take a stock, then every time is loss. We earned 1,000 but lost 5,000. So then how are we going to make progress? So may Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us that yaqeen, that sadaqat, that iman. May Allah ta'ala give us that muhabbat of His, that love of His, and the love of Rasul-e Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And may He open the doors of our risk and sustenance from halal sources so that we don't have to even think of haram. That is, Allah ta'ala must take that greed out of our hearts. And Allah ta'ala must provide for us in such a way that we don't have to even think of those bank managers and haram sources. And it's not difficult for Allah ta'ala. Beg of Him. Beg of Allah ta'ala and see what He gives. Outside the masjid, yeah, there's a board there. No begging allowed. But that is outside there, begging of people. But in the masjid, begging is allowed. Beg of Allah ta'ala in the masjid. Go outside there, you'll see the board. No begging allowed. But inside the masjid, it's meant for begging. Beg. And then see how Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives. And not only that Allah ta'ala will give, but He gets happy also. And He's pleased also. And it's an ibadat also. And you get sawab and reward also. And outside there, if you beg of people, they might even hit the person or might get angry on him or chase him out. So masjid inside is for begging from Allah ta'ala. That board is only for the outside. But sometimes we treat that board and come inside and we don't beg inside too. May Allah ta'ala give us His muhabbat, yaqeen. Wallah, there's no other intention except that there's something in my heart which I want to pass on. And I'm trying. And alhamdulillah, many, many brothers, Allah ta'ala's fazal and ihsan, they are admitting that this, something has happened. But I don't have it. I'm not claiming that I have that. But there is a message, I don't know, deep down, there's something that I want each and every one that comes here to taste something, which I don't know myself what it is. But there is something. And inshallah, when you get that taste, then you will distance yourself from all the haram. Haram will, there'll be a stench, there'll be like filth. And that sukoon, that is the thing, what I'm trying to get at is that sukoon of the heart under all conditions, whatever condition. But to get this sukoon, it is such a great gift of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala must bless me too with it and bless you too with it. And Allah Ta'ala must accept us all for the work of His deen. And deen work starts from our home. Educating and teaching and training our children, our families, our neighborhood, our society. Every person must be a da'i wherever he goes. He must have that urge in him. It must be that restlessness that he wants to pass on some message of deen to whomever he comes into contact. Sometimes silently with his action and sometimes by speech. It's not that every time he has to stop the person and give him a long speech. Sometimes it's just that little action and you'll be surprised the effect that has on the hearts of the people. They'll accept Islam. There's so many incidents like that. Just that small incident and it'll accept Islam. No speech is given. The Raat Ki Rani and the Mogra and all these flowers, they don't give any speech. The rose flower, what speech does it give? It's that fragrance. I will conclude on that one beautiful example given by Hazrat Mawlana Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayh. He says that one girl who was expecting a baby for the first time, so she told her mother-in-law that just when I'm about to deliver the baby, in case I'm fast asleep, must get me up. So the mother-in-law mother said that we don't have to get you up, you will get the whole world up. And you will get the pain, you will get the world up. Nobody has to get you up. So like that, we must get that pain in our heart that we want to pass on this message of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam to the world. People are suffering. They are restless. They want to take tablets and they want to commit suicide and they want to do everything. Now if we don't have that sukoon in our hearts, we don't have that noor in our hearts, we don't have that taqwa in our hearts, what are we going to pass on? Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. Ay Allah, humare gunahon ko maaf farma, khataon ko maaf farma, lagzishon se darguzar farma. Ay Allah, humare sagira, kabira, amadan, khataan, zahiri, batini, har gunah ko maaf farma. Oh my Allah, forgive our major sins, minor sins, sins that we committed knowingly or unknowingly, sins that we committed in the light of day or darkness of nights. Oh my beloved Allah, oh my Rahim Allah, Kareem Allah, give us such love of yours, oh Allah, such love of yours, that it becomes extremely easy for us to do everything that is pleasing to you. Oh Allah, give the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam into our hearts. Distance us from sins and from haram, oh Allah. Oh my beloved Allah, bless us with good health, with long life, with prosperity, with happiness, with contentment, with satisfaction in our lives. Oh Allah, clean and remove from our hearts, oh Allah, all that is evil that has embedded himself. Oh Allah, clear from our hearts pride, arrogance, jealousy, envy, malice, greed. Ya Allah, give us the hearts that you give to the awliya-i siddiqeen. Ya Allah, bless us with your closeness and your marifat and your yaqeen. Allah, change the conditions around the world. Ya Allah, change the conditions around the world. Change the conditions of adversity to that of prosperity. Let the winds of hidayat blow throughout the continents. Ya Allah, bless us with the best of dunya and the best of akhirat. Rasul Pak Sallallahu, all the goodness that he asked for us, bless us with that goodness. And from all the mischief and corruption and fitnas that he asked for protection, protect the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya Allah, the ijtima which is to take place, give it success. Ya Allah, give us the tawfiq to reform and change ourselves. Ya Allah, bring entire deen into the lives of the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد وآله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.